Lekutas Sichas Chelek Yud, Parsha Chayesara, Sicha Beis. The Parsha Seina Musupar, Ala Masa Umatan Shaben Eliezer Mishpachas Rivka, the Torah tells the whole exchange between the negotiation between Eliezer and the family of Rivka Bekesher Nisu Eho Li Yitzchak in regards to Rivka ending up marrying Yitzchak. Ubapirish Rashi Baparsha Zuana Maitzim Kamin Yonam Adershim Bir. And the way Rashi explains this story, we find a few things that need better and more explanation. Heim b'teichnam, both in the way Rashi describes it, the heim b'ashvasam zalazeh, and also as we compare different parts of the story to each other. Ala pasuk v'nishal es pia, on the pasuk that says we should ask Rivka, the Lavan said, let's ask Rivka. Pirush Rashi. Rashi there says, Mikan she'ema si'ema sa'isha ela midaited. From here we see that you don't marry off a woman only with her agreement. As they said, we should ask her. The tzarech lo'amin, so we have to understand about this Rashi. Why? Psukim shelefneze, in the earlier psukim that come before this pasuk, Ne'emer it says, Vayan Lavan of Suel, that Lavan of Suel both said, Hine Rivka lefanecha, here is Rivka, before here is Rivka, take her, kach v'leich, take her and go, but tehi li'isha leben adinayach, and she should be for a wife to the son of your master, the Yitzchak. Harei shekvar iskimu ala shidduch. So from here we see that they already had agreed to the shidduch. You can take her and go. Mikoidem from before about pizei al karchach tzarech loymar. So based on this, we have to say lechayda the masha amru l'achiz enishul es pia. That what they were saying now, let's ask Rivka, eina kavon al etzem dvar ha-shidduch. It wasn't ask her whether she agrees to the shidduch altogether, because that was already agreed. Ela im tirtza leilach miyada shetirtza lisake mimoy meshel zman. These words, let's ask Rivka, came in response to Eliezer saying, we need to leave now. We need to go now. They said, no, let her stay for a year. Let her stay for 10 months. So therefore, it would seem that what they were saying, let's ask her, was about, does she want to stay for a year or does she want to go home and go with you right away? Kedivreim, as they said, and it's not like Rashi says, that by saying, let's ask Rivka, they were asking her whether she agrees to the shidduch altogether. It would seem that they were asking her only about this one detail. Do you agree to go now? Or do you want to wait for a while? Beis. Another thing. Ala posik v'yemer achev v'ima. On the pasuk that says, and her brother and her mother said, Pirush Rashi. Rashi says, why does it say her brother and her mother when before it said Vayem Psuel Lavan Psuel? So Rashi says, Psuel Hechan Haya, where was Psuel during all this? The answer is, Huay Reitzel Akiv, he wanted to interfere with the Shidduch. But Malach Mimisa, so Malach came along and killed him. So he was out of the picture. Umezem Mashma, so from this it seems, the Achiyavam, the Imaloy Reitzel Akiv. That the Psuel wanted to interfere, but Lavan and the mother, they didn't want to interfere. That's why they were still around. Avla Pirusha Kan Mashma, but according to Rashi's explanation here, it seems Shagam Bedaitem Lo Yoyadayim Muskam, that they were also not yet completely sure that they wanted to agree to the Shidduch. V'yaseidem Azui Snagdu Lazeh. Not only were they not sure, but they were even opposed to it. Where do we see this? Kapirush Rashi B'Minus Rivka. As Rashi says from the response that Rivka said, Eilich ma'atzmi, she said, I'm going on my own. I'm not asking you, va'afim ein chamreitzim, even if you don't want, I'm going anyway. So in other words, we see that Rivka had to respond to some sort of a resistance on their part, that she had to say, even if you don't want, I'm still going. She hirgisha she'enem reitzim, she felt that there was some resistance on their part. And therefore they were asking again, maybe, you know, do you want to do it? In other words, that they were not yet on board with the Shidduch. So from this Rashi, from this discussion, it seems that Laban and the mother were not yet fully on board. So again, we have two different, first they said that they were agreeing, and then suddenly they weren't agreeing. It seems that they weren't agreeing. L'idach tzarech lahavin. On the other hand, we have to understand, mipashtas haksuvim mevur, now from the simple meaning of the pasuk, it seems that it's clear, she'iskimu tekef ulepeil olashrich, that immediately when Eliezer brought it up, they agreed. As they said, here's Rivka, take her and go. But now that Rashi says that you can't marry off a woman without her agreement, then we have the question goes back to the beginning. How could they have made that decision without first clarifying Rivka's opinion? And number two, Amram kach v'leich, when they said take her and go, shebepshuta shel mikra pirush takev, take her and go means, in the simple meaning of the psukim, means take her now, you can take her now and go and leave. But as we know the rule that you're supposed, as they we will soon see from the psukim that they themselves said that they want to wait 12 months because that's common. You're supposed to give a woman 12 months to prepare for a wedding. So how did they originally say, take her and go? So it seems, though, from the story, originally they agreed, and they even said that she can go right away. How could they agree without her agreement? How could they say go right away when you have to give her 12 months? Then they changed their mind. So what exactly is happening here? What's the flow of the story that it keeps changing back and forth? La'el ba pasuk, earlier in the pasuk, Teshav anari itani yamei me'asar, where Lavan said, let the girl sit with us for a year or 10 months. La'achei shemefarash Rashi tevis yamim shebapasuk, after Rashi first explains the word yamim, that it means shepirush shana, that it doesn't mean days, it means a year. Moisif tam lebakashasa. Rashi adds the reason for their request. Why do they want to delay for a year? That is common, that you give a young woman 12 months to acquire the things that she needs for her womanly status. So for this also we need to understand. Number one, it's obvious that a young woman needs time to prepare for a wedding. Even a b'chamish l'mikra child knows this. So therefore, it's self-understood. Everybody can understand why the love on the brother and the mother would request that Rivka should stay for a while to prepare. So therefore, what is the question in the simple understanding of these psukim? That Rashi needs to explain the reason why they were asking for time that she should remain and delay the wedding. And Rashi has to give you the reason, because a woman has to be given 12 months to prepare. And maybe you could say that Rashi is trying to explain why dafka 12 months, why did they ask for a year? And therefore he says, because that was common, you give a woman 12 months. If so, Rashi should also explain why did they bring it down to 10 months, what's significant about 10 months? If you're willing to give up on the 12 months, why not 3 months and so on? But Rashi doesn't explain about the 10 months. So therefore we have to say that Rashi is explaining something about why it's important that she should be given time to prepare. Beis, l'chayra ef shaloyma b'pshuta shal mikra. Maybe we could say that in the pshuta shal mikra zeh shabikshu yud beis chaydash ulefi shekain shiru b'shubinidin zeh. Maybe, according to pshuta shal mikra, this was particular to Rivka. Her brother and her mother, who know her they decided, they figured that for a person like her, she needs 12 months. Hayna lefi matzav parnasas shel Rivka. In other words, for her particular needs, tzricha yud beis chodesh, she would need 12 months. It's not that that's what everybody does. That's what she does. She needs. Valpiza gam yeturitz, bepashtus das Eliezer, shetelech v'tekev. Which would explain, of course, why Eliezer could have assessed that, no, we need to go right away. Because why are they arguing? He says 12 months, as they say 12 months. He says go right away. Could be that this way, you know, you say she needs 12 months. No, it seems she can go right away. So then how does Rashi know from this interaction between Eliezer and Lavan and Psuel and his mother and the mother, that's common that you give 12 months? How does he see it from here? Maybe it was particular to Rivka. How do we know that this was the rule, that Rashi has to impose this rule from these psukim? In other words, that this is a common accepted conduct, that everybody goes by this rule that you give 12 months. How does Rashi know this? At least from here, how does he know it? And to the contrary, lefi pirushay, according to Rashi's explanation, then he moved amram takev ayosar. According to Rashi, that says that the accepted delay is 12 months, then why did they immediately say 12 months or maybe 10 months? Why did they immediately change? The Mekiv and the Bakasha Sami Mishum Shakach Naisen Lubsuli Yudbeis Chodesh, if, as Rashi says, the reason they requested 12 months was because this is the accepted time, Mawa Tam Levata Shnei Chodashim, why did they so easily give up 2 months? And if there is some reason why 10 months is also good enough, why did they originally ask for 12 months? From this, it seems that it's not so much that it is accepted by everybody that 12 months is the time, and that more reasonably, it is something that you assess for each person on their own. Each person has a different need and how much time they need. Ba'ayin yofoi, betzimtzum, should you give them more time to prepare or just, do it quickly as you can? Al derech shemetzinu b'tainas Avram, chamishim arbaim v'chamisha, as we find that Avram also, when he's negotiating with Hashem about the stoim, first he started with 50. 50 didn't work, so he went on to 45. In other words, it's not 50 is the number. You start with 50. If that doesn't work, you go down to 45. So they could have been doing the same thing over here. She would need 12 months. 12 months is too much? Okay, we can make it work in 10 months and so on. But it's all specific to the person. So how does Rashi know that they were basing it on the accepted rule? Babir. So the explanation of all of this. So to understand the whole story, the pasuk v'nishala espia, in the pasuk, well, let's ask her. Muchrach Rashi lefarash hiskavna leklolas hashidduch. Rashi was forced to say that they were asking her about the shidduch in general. And not that they were asking her, do you want to go now or do you want to wait? As would seem from the psukim, it would seem more that they were asking her about whether you want to leave now or you want to wait. But Rashi says no, that it means the general shidduch. In the next pasuk, what is they elaborate on their question. They say, do you want to go with this man? They're not asking, do you want to go now with him? They're asking, do you want to go with him? Or some similar question. In other words, they were going back now and they were asking, do you want to go with him? So therefore, Rashi sees from the next pasuk that their question was, do you want to go? Do you want to get married with this person? V'had amochach min aksuvim shalifnei ze. Shashidach b'chlolus ekvar hayu muskam. I, we already saw from the earlier psukim that they had already agreed to the shidduch. As he said from the psukim, take her and go, and so on. Al kein sarach loimar, so therefore we must say, shebin tayim ira dover, shegorim l'shine achotasum laskama. That something happened in the middle between their original agreement and now asking her, something happened that they backtracked on their original agreement for the shidduch. So much so that they wanted to maybe forget about the whole thing. What is it that made this fundamental change? We will understand this from Rashi in those psukim, as will be presently explained. When Lavan and Besuel answered to Eliezer originally, and they said, "Mahashem yotza hadavar." They said, "This is clearly from Hashem." We can't say anything to you that would interfere with this. Therefore, here, take Rivka. Here she is. You can take her and go. Kasher dibur Hashem, as Hashem has spoken. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi says, we can't speak to you in order to refuse this. Because it's clear that this is something that Hashem wants. According to your story, that she became available to you. In other words, as you were asking, and there she was, and so on, that the way the Eliezer described the story, how the divine providence was that he asked the question, she answered, she fought, everything fell into place so perfectly. In other words, from the story of Eliezer, from his words, the way he described it, they were convinced that it was the word of Hashem. If so, if Hashem wants it, then who are we to say no? And they believe that even if they were to refuse, or if Rivka were to refuse, it's going to happen anyway. If Hashem wants it to happen, it's going to happen. And therefore, they immediately agreed that this is how it has to happen. They didn't even have to ask Rivka at that point, because it's Hashem's will. Who's going to interfere? Even if she doesn't want it, it's going to happen anyway. Even though normally, generally, before you offer up someone for marriage, of course you have to clear it with her, as is the rule. But in this case, since it was so clearly Hashem's will, they said, what's the point of asking her? Even if she refuses, it's going to happen anyway. But then, in the psukim, after that mesuper, that in the answer, when Eliezer asked the question, Shalchuni ladaini, he requested of them, send me, let me go, I need to leave now, I need to go back. What was their answer? Amru achei b'ima, her brother and her mother said, Teishav anayri itonu yomim ayosar, achar teilich. Let the young lady stay here for a year or 10 months, and then she'll go with you. So he said, Meretz, shadova b'klolusay muskam. In other words, at that point, they were still generally on board with her getting married to Yitzchak. Eloshim Mevakshim Shetisakev Etzlam Meshach Zvan. But they were asking, but let's delay it for a year or 10 months. Ulam, but then what happened? Kasher Chazer Eliezer El Dvarav. Ubaloshin Al Ta'achra Isi. When Eliezer once again said, no, she needs to come now. He said, don't delay me. Shalchuni ve'elcha ladaini, send me off and let me go back to my master. Amru, they said. Suddenly they changed their tune. Nikra l'nayra v'lishol espia. Okay, let's call Rivka and ask her what she thinks. U'kanal siv gimel shenishol al kol sadover. And as we already explained before, that they weren't asking about, let's ask her if she wants to go now. So now they're saying, let's ask her if she wants to agree altogether to the shidduch. In other words, something about what Eliezer said send me off now and let me go back, that's what caused them to change their mind about the general shidduch. Now we have to ask her if she agrees altogether to the shidduch. What is it? Umavar Rashi umefarish, and Rashi explains Shaba Omram Teisha v'nayre itonu ba'achat teilech, that when they said, let her stay for a while and then she'll go, tanosam im hayosh shashidach nigmar, they were saying that even though it's true that we already agreed to the shidduch, okanal kein shayach l'moyim b'zeh, and as they said, the reasoning was because how could you refuse Hashem's will? Kivin shem Hashem yotzar davar mekol mokayim, still they said teishev, let her stay for a while. Why? Ki kach neisen v'psulid zman yud beis chodesh. This is common. This is what always happens. Hashem wants it to happen, but it's common that you give a woman 12 months. Zeh minigolim. This is what everybody does. The yaseid mizu, and even more so. Mikivin shel yezer be'eshi itziya shidach lehisna shemidin dezeh yishtana min aragel v'telich miyad. Originally, when Eliezer presented the idea and what they agreed to, there was no discussion of this was going to be different than any other marriage. That over here, we're not going to wait 12 months as every girl gets to wait. Harei bevade ledas lovon mechulu shagam hu hiskaven lechatchilu l'shidduch b'seida mekubel v'rogil. So certainly, that what they were discussing at the time when they were discussing the shidduch originally was, we're going to go ahead with this, but in the way that everybody does, which means you give a girl 12 months to prepare. Ach kasher sirv Eliezer lahaskim l'seida nog v'hoisiv dova chodosh. But now Eliezer suddenly is backtracking on what was understood before, that everything would go according to the normal process of a marriage, and now he wants to add something new. Even according to Eliezer's words, from everything that happened to him, which were truly miraculous and incredible, and that it's clearly a sign from Hashem that this marriage has to happen, but even according to his story, the way he's presenting it, where does the story say that it has to happen now, today? So now that he comes up with a new condition, that he has to leave right now, nowhere in his original story was there any indication that this has to happen immediately. So now that he's making new conditions, they said, well, how do we know that anything that you said is true? Even the Sher Olam, even the Shtar Matana, as Rashi says, that he showed them a document that Avram had gifted everything that belongs to him to Yitzchak, which showed that Yitzchak was a man of means. So they began to question, who knows if this document is real? The Gamadivran of Floisha Sipir, even the story that he told, the amazing story that he told, who knows if it's true? Kishadiyuk, Loshan Rashi, Lefisha Nike, Lefid Varecha, Haina Shrek Memenuad, Yoduaisam. As Rashi says, that they said, according to your story, that this is what happened. So now, of course, according to this, it must be Hashem's will. But this is all if we trust that what you're saying is true. But now that you're putting in new conditions which were not originally discussed, and nowhere in the original story is there any indication that there needs to be such a condition. Now that you want to impose this new condition, which goes against what is normal for a marriage, how do we know that we should trust anything that you say? The key is, in other words, that who knows if this is Hashem's will? The key is Shirak b'sivus hanisim echlitu al shidduch meblei lisha laskamot shel Rivka. And since the whole basis of agreeing to the shidduch without even asking Rivka was only because they believed his story, v'omru hinei Rivka kach v'lech, and only because of that did they say, yes, you can go. So now that they are questioning his whole story, now they are find themselves in a new situation. Now they nikra lanaira. Now they find themselves in the position that they have to say, let's call her and ask her whether she agrees to the shidduch. Aletzem ha'shidduch. because now we're back to square one, which means we're not 100% sure that we can believe you, that this is Hashem's will. So now it's just a question of, does she want to go with you? Does she agree to the shidduch or not? So they went back to that point, and it's all based on Eliezer's insistence that they have to leave now. Now we understand what Rashi is saying, that she that let her stay with us for a year. That Rashi says because a woman has to be given 12 months. Rashi's saying this explains why they suddenly began to question whether the shidduch was correct altogether. They weren't saying, well, maybe we should allow her to stay for 12 months. They were insisting it's a common thing that a woman has to have 12 months in order to prepare. Why are you suddenly insisting that she has to leave now? Because it was based on this that Eliezer made this new condition that he's not going to follow the normal process, which is that a woman gets 12 months. They began to question the whole thing. Who knows whether he's telling the truth altogether? And that's why we have to go back and look at it from the beginning. Let's ask Rivka whether she wants to now. Now we don't know if it's Hashem's will anymore. But based on this, that they're saying, let her stay with us, now that we understand that it was a taina on their part, first of all, it answers also that it wasn't an assessment of Rivka's situation. It was a condition that is understood by everybody that makes a shidduch. You have to wait 12 months. So, madua omru teka vayasar. If so, why did they immediately agree to 10 months? If the whole thing is about why are you insisting on 12 months, on going right away since everybody gets 12 months? Why then did they so quickly agree to 10? Babir, and the explanation for that is Tama Dovashin Naisin Lupsulas Manyud Beis Chaydash. What is the reason that a woman is given 12 months? Rashi explains it immediately. This is in order for her to be able to acquire all those things that she needs in order to conduct a woman's life in marriage. But in the psukim earlier it says that as soon as when they agreed to the shidduch, the Eliezer brought out silver things and golden trinkets by Yitin L'Rivka, and he gave it to Rivka. And since Eliezer already gave her golden trinkets and silver trinkets, those things which are needed, jewelry and so on, so he already gave her tachshitim. He already did what he was already preparing her for marriage. So therefore, what does she need 12 months for anymore? So they said, oh yeah, okay, you gave her some jewelry. So they said, maybe we don't need the full 12 months. You already gave her some stuff, so she only needs 10 months. In other words, even though normally taka you need 12 months, but in this particular case, also we could agree to 10 months. Why? Because already some of the jewelry that she needs, you already gave her, so fine. Yes, she only needs 10 months. So from from this discussion, we understand that they, in their opinion, the amount that Eliezer gave her was enough to, she doesn't need 2 months. She's just fulfilled 2 months of preparation. That is, if we understand it, that the reason that Eliezer gave her these gifts was, I'm giving you the preparation for your marriage. That's what this is. It's possible also that he gave her gifts which are unrelated to the preparation for marriage. They were just gifts, like for instance the Migdonis that he gave to her brother. Obviously the gifts that he gave to Lavan were not in any way to prepare for the marriage. They were just gifts. So it's possible that we should view these gifts to Rivka also as just gifts, nothing to do with her preparation for marriage. But even if you say that they were the type of gifts that are at what she needs in the preparation for marriage, so what we could do is take off 2 months because you've given her enough of what it would normally take for us to prepare in 2 months. Avol tzarach li is aser, but there still has to be 10 months. Leish shevimoyim asar chadashim, that she should spend another 10 months with us, kedei lefarnes asam b'chol ha-techshitim, so that she could make up all the other techshitim that she's going to need, kanog as is common. Umekol makam Eliezer shalchuni, and still Eliezer said, no, you have to send me off now. V'gam ledaitam sharei kivan, and in other words, you have to agree that you have to send me off. Shalchuni means you send me off, meaning I need you. You should be agreeing that I need to leave now. Shari kivan shavai etzliach darki, that since Hashem has given me the success, amitihu. It's in other words, it's true. Hare v'hare herolahem shtar matana, and he also showed them the shtar of the gifts, the chol tov adonav, that I own everything. Rivka, in other words, that Yitzchok and Rivka, they're going to own everything that Avram owns. Kailul gam tachshitim the sorrow, including also everything, all the sorrows, jewelry and so on, is also going to be owned. So therefore, what I'm telling you is true. We have everything that we need. She doesn't need to prepare. She can leave right now. Another diuk in our Rashi, bepirush alvenishalas pia, in explaining the words, let's ask her. Mishana Rashi meloshna medrash. Rashi changes what the medrash says about this. The medrash says ein masir esayisoma el al pia. The medrash says that you don't marry off an orphan girl, only if you ask her. The Kaysev and Rashi writes, no, isha, that you don't marry off a woman, any woman, el medaita, only with her agreement. Medaita, but tzarech lahavi natam. So you have to understand why Rashi changes the words of the Medrash. Befrat l'chayra haisa Rivka osketana, especially that Rivka was then a child. She was still 3 years old. She wasn't an isha, she wasn't an adult. Why does Rashi change the lashon and say Aisha she'ima yais Rivka rak bas gimel shanim, that even though Rivka was only 3 years old, mekol makom haisa kvar gedayla bedaita, she was already a mature person. Even though she was only 3 years old, she was already considered a mature person. How do we know? The parsha told us ala posev vayiglu ana orim, and told us where it says that the talking about Yaakov and Esav, that they grew up, the children grew up. Pirush Rashi, it says, kol zman shehayu ktanim, as long as they were children, lo yehayu nekarim b'maseihem, people couldn't tell from their behavior, ve'ein adam medaktek behem mativam, and people don't pay attention to children, what exactly their behavior is, to know what kind of people they will grow up to be. But when they became 13 years old, Zeh Pirush Vabata Medrashis, Yaakov went to Beis Medrash to learn, Zeh Pirush, and Esau went in the other direction. So that's what Rashi says. V'hine Ma'isa Shol Adam Mevugar Muchachim Mechichim Al Tchunus Nafshe. When you look at the behavior of an adult, of a mature person, his behavior reflects what type of character the person has. Umishu bardas o balachrayis, and a person that is an intelligent person, a person with responsibility, are maisav teitzoy mitchunas nafshei. That person's behavior is a result of the kind of character and personality that he has. L'toyv or l'hepach, whether it's a good personality, so he behaves in a proper way. If it's a negative, a different kind of a personality, he behaves that way. But nobody would say that you should judge a person's life based on what he does when he's a child, when he's not yet mature, and therefore not responsible for his behavior so much. So based on this, we can understand this. What Rashi says over there, he dwells on this. Kol zman shayiktanim, as long as Yaakov and Esav were children, lo yhayu nikarim b'maseyim, it wasn't yet recognizable by their behavior. Ve'ein adam didaktik b'hem, and people did not pay attention to what they were doing in order to be able to make a judgment about them. L'chayir l'maynaf kemina hadiktuk b'hem. Why does Rashi have to add these words? People did not pay attention to what they were doing. He should have said simply, when they turned 13, ubola klal gadlus, in other words, they became mature, nika b'maseh, and they were, now we could see what kind of behavior they were exhibiting, shazeh pirish l'beis medrash, that Yaakov behaved in the way Yaakov behaved, and bazeh and Esav behaved in the way he behaved. Why does he have to say people paid attention, people didn't pay attention? Why does he have to say that? We'll move him alosh and Rashi. Shabim hayu medaktikim behem. So from the way Rashi says it, it seems that if people would have paid attention to makirim b'maseyim, kaidim shenasul b'nei yud gimel shana, and would have paid attention to the behavior before they became 13, it would have actually been possible to be able to determine what kind of people they would be even earlier. Why does Rashi say that until now nobody paid attention to their behavior? Even if they, it would seem that if they're children, even if they paid attention to them beforehand, it wouldn't have said anything anyway. They're children. What are you paying attention to their behavior? But from the fact that Rashi points out that people didn't yet pay attention, it means that had they paid attention, there would have been a good determination about what their future would be based on their behavior, even as children. Hainu, shebepirush pshudush mikra, according to pshudush mikra, ein inyan katnus v'gadlus tala b'gil yud gimel shana. That if you look at things on a simple level, without looking at the halacha of it, but just simply how you determine people's behavior and maturity, it's not so much dependent on turning 13 when you can determine what a person is going to be like. It depends on each person and their development and their maturity. Because there are people that become mature even earlier in life at a younger age, and there are people that become mature only later. And turning 13 isn't what makes you mature or not. But that in general, generally speaking, you would say that at the ben yud gimel shana nasa gadol b'seichel b'deya, it usually happens around the age 13 that a person becomes more mature. And therefore, since most people become mature at 13, so that's when people start to pay attention. The people that want to know what kind of a person is it going to be. But Rashi is saying that before 13, people just don't pay attention because it's a child anyway. What am I looking at? Why watch closely? It doesn't say anything anyway. Because for the most part, people don't mature until they're 13. So people don't pay attention. That's what Rashi is saying. But if there are people that do mature earlier, and if you were to pay attention when they were younger, when they were already mature, you would be able to know what the future brings. So in our case, Mesuper Beparshas Eliezer Simen Nosen La'atzmei, that Eliezer gave himself a sign. He made a sign for himself. He said to himself, the girl that I will say to her, give me, can I take a drink? And she will say, take and drink, and also your camels and so on. That's the woman, that's the girl that you have proven is for Yitzchak. Ukesheros Rivka. And then when he saw Rivka, and he ran to her and he said, give me a drink. So in other words, that Eliezer was very much paying attention to what kind of behavior Rivka was going to exhibit. and he determined the type of person she was from the behavior that she did, even though she was 3 years old. In other words, that Rivka was already on such a level of maturity that you could look at her behavior at the age of 3 and see the maturity that she had, see the type of behavior that she would live her life by. In other words, that Rivka was already at that time a mature person. She was an adult as far as maturity is concerned. And that's why Rashi says, refers to as Ha'isha, not as a Yisayma, in other words, a child that is unable to make, is not yet ready for big decisions. Rashi changes the Medrash's words to Ha'isha because she was already at that time a mature person on the level of an adult. Yidua shepirush Rashi yeshna minyanim mufloim v'gam ba'alocha. We know that in Rashi we find very amazing things even in Alocha, but pirush Rashi delan, in our case, we find the following. B'makar adin, the ben sholosh esrei lemitzvahs, shtei deis ba'alocha. In regards to the halacha that a person turns an adult at 13, there are two opinions of how we learn this. How do we know this? One is lemedim davazem and mashakasa. We learn it from the pasuk by Yikhu Shnei Bnei Yaakov Shimon Balevi Ishchar. But the pasuk says that the two sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, took each man took their sword. So we learn from that Shahoyu Ba'isa Azman Bnei Yud Gimel Shana. Levi was at that time 13 years old. The Korom Akos of Ish, and the Torah refers to them as men. Shemayra al gadlus, in other words, that they were considered to be men, mature adults. Well, the fizeh who inyan tivi shebigil yud yimul shana nasa gadol b'seicho v'deya. In other words, so we see from this, if we learn it from that pasuk that the maturity arrives at 13, it means that since the Torah refers to them then as men, as an adult, it means that it's a natural thing that a person when they turn 13 become adults. Base. Another way to learn this issue, this is one of the parameters that we learn that were given over to Moshe Mesinai. There are many, many such shiurim, which means parameters. How much do you have to eat in order to be considered eating? What is the size of this and the size of that and the height and the length and so on? There are many, many such shiurim. 10 tfachim or a tefach or an amah or how many amas, a sukkah, how big does it have to be, and so on. All of these are halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, and that the age of 13 is no different than that. It's just that Moshe Rabbeinu was told 13, that's an adult. The eina tola b'teva, in other words, it has nothing to do with the nature of a person. It's just so because this is what Moshe was told. V'nafkemina l'halacha, There is a difference in halacha also how you look at this, where you learn it from. As far as yidden are concerned, there's no difference if you learn it halacha l'meishu m'sinai or from the nature, but the fact is that it starts at 13. But in regards to non-Jews and what is their, when do their responsibilities for their halacha start, would make a difference upon where you see, where you learn the age of maturity. According to the opinion that you learn that 13 is the age of mitzvah from the pasuk, because the nature of a person is that is when a person becomes mature. So then it would apply even to every non-Jew, that since that is the age of maturity, so when a goy turns 13, he also becomes responsible for his mitzvahs. Because the Torah teaches us that the nature of things is that a person becomes mature at the age 13. In regards to this, there's no difference between a yid and a goy, because even a b'nei noyach have to become mature at that time, so that's when they become responsible. But according to the Deya, that this is really halacha l'meishu m'sina, yim came b'bnei noyach, shalahem lo nitnu ha-shiurim, in regards to a non-Jew, who the laws of shiurim do not apply to them. This was only halacha l'meishu m'sina for yidin. Then you would say, or you could possibly say, that each individual non-Jew has to be judged according to their level of maturity. Not that there is a blanket rule that everybody becomes obligated at the age 13. You would have to judge each person according to their own. There is no standard. According to this opinion, that by Yidden it comes from Halacha l'meishu m'Sinai, therefore by non-Jews there is no standard. And because there's no standard, you would have to make a judgment for each individual non-Jew on their own. Are they mature enough to be able to take the responsibility or not? In the Pshudosh Mikra, the Avos yet were under the rules of Bnei Noach. So therefore, according to this second opinion, that one could say that Rashi is of that opinion that each individual has to be judged according to their personal level of maturity. That according to this, the maturity of each person is dependent on their own particular case. In other words, that when Rashi refers to Rivka as Isha, in other words, as an adult, as a mature adult, this is not simply saying that that's what her level of maturity was, but that according to Halacha, as a Bnei Noach, she was already legally considered to be an adult because she had that maturity.